Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the late pick five at Santa Anita on Saturday, October 1st, 2022. This is show number 192, September 30th, 2022. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, what are you up to this weekend?
I actually just landed in the windy city of Chicago, although it's not really windy today. And I will be participating in the Hawthorne Invitational Handicapping Contest tomorrow. So I've been on the road, just touched down not long ago, and looking forward to the races tomorrow and hopefully a little bit of success in the contest.
So what are the rules? As I recall, Hawthorne lets you bet any kind of bet, and that includes pick five.
No, that's their normal contests they have are like that. This is a special one. It's a limited number of participants, and they're going to live stream it, actually. So they changed the format up. So it's pretty much all mandatory races that they pick. You get to pick one optional race, and you have to bet a fixed amount in every race until the last race. And then you can bet as much as you want. But for up until the last race, you got to bet $200, and you can only play, you know, vertical wagers, no multi-race wagers. So it's quite a bit different than their normal contest.
Yeah, now I remember seeing a video of you being in this contest with Ren Carruthers interviewing you.
Yeah, the inaugural one. They kind of haven't had it for a few years because of COVID, but the first one they did, they live streamed that or taped it or something, and I finished second that year to Jim Bennis. Actually won it, a very good NHC, former NHC champion, and he beat me out. I finished second, which was fine. I was pretty happy with that. And Ren Carruthers was one of the talents on the live stream. I think this year it's going to be Nancy Holthus and Emily Gullickson, I think. So, see, I don't know yet.
Cool. Well, I look forward to checking that out. Now, what is the final race that everybody can bet as much money as they want on?
The Hawthorne Derby. The Hawthorne Derby, which isn't a bad race, and it looks like the weather will be good, so it will stay on the turf. So that will be the one you have to hit if you want to win the contest.
Now, are there any Santa Anita races since we're doing Santa Anita today?
I just got the races. There is the Santa Anita Sprint Championship is part of the contest.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that one. I think that's the first one we talk about, the first leg of the pick five.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, you know, when we talked about what races we were going to do on the pod, you mentioned you were in the contest. I assumed that you were going to have to handicap all of Santa Anita anyway, but now it looks like you're handicapping four extra Santa Anita races just for the pod.
Yeah, I hadn't even looked at most of the ladder races until you told me a few hours ago we were going to cover it on the pod. So I'm probably less prepared, especially for the last race, which is the kind of race I hate anyway. But, you know, I definitely have some opinions. I think there's some pretty good races in sequence, so we'll see what happens.
And I'd like to announce that the Sport of Kings pod has a new sponsor. The pod is now brought to you by Horse Racing Nation and its first-timer power ratings report, which ranks every debut runner in North America and provides an edge because the top-ranked horses outperform both their off odds and their morning line. They looked at 9,000 debut runners over the past year. Their biggest indicator is workouts, but also includes trainer patterns, breeding, how they work from the gate, and so on. They actually break down all the stats and itemize them in case you want to weight some of them more than others. The report comes out daily and includes all the first-time starters for that day all over the country, and it costs only $20. The horses that achieve the that get 5-star power ratings and 4-star power ratings are the ones specifically that outrun their odds. And we have a maiden in the sequence, and we'll give out the power ratings for each first-timer in that race. Get the first-timer power ratings report at picks.horseracingnation.com.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be a 5-star power rating horse in that, because there's about half the field are first-time starters. So it'll be a good test.
It will be a good test. Now, there are a number of 4-stars, but there is 1 5-star, and look forward to chatting about that when we get to that race.
All right.
So the first race in the sequence is the 6th race. It's the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, a grade 2, 6 furlongs on dirt, purse of $200,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And it's only you and me this time. We'll have you start it, and we'll alternate who goes first. We'll have you start this race.
All right. Well, this race, a little bit of deja vu. Richard Mandela had a really good horse named Omaha Beach who was on the Triple Crown Trail, got injured, came back and as a sprinter later in the year and ran very well. And Forbidden Kingdom, who I think everyone knew was a sprinter right from the start. You know, they kind of have to take a shot when they, you know, the Santa Anita Derby. But, you know, he's certainly the one to beat. There's other speed horses in here, so he shouldn't get an easy trip. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does. I'm willing to take a shot against him, but I definitely think he's the most likely winner. I was really struggling on who I wanted to lean on here. I didn't fall in love with anybody, but I ended up on the 5-horse Super Ocho. And he's a South American import, and his stablemate, the 7-horse Toto Fino, is in the same race. Of the two, I like Super Ocho better. He has been working really fast. He's gone longer distances and he's sprinted. And in his U.S. debut, he was pretty impressive. He basically won in a gallop. And then that was at Mountaineer against a weak field, but they brought him out to Santa Anita. The barn's been doing really well. With a small number of runners this year. And his debut was 5 furlongs on the turf, which is not his game. I think he needs to go a little farther than that, but there probably weren't a lot of options at Del Mar because he doesn't have any conditions. And he kind of got off to a bad start, but he made a little bit of a move, and I thought it was pretty good. And Barrios could have ridden Toto Fino, and he's on Super Ocho, which I think is a good sign. And like I said, he's really sporting some good workouts since he's been at Santa Anita. I think 6 furlongs would be great. I don't think he's a need to lead type. I think he can sit off, and I think that's what they'll do. They'll probably send Toto Fino from the outside post. So Super Ocho could get, you know, completely overlooked in here. Maybe he's 10-1 on the morning line, but I got to believe that he'll float up above that. So that's probably where I'll go for value, E5. The 5, which is the Super 8 or Super Ocho.
Super Ocho. He has, interestingly, I noted that he has 2 grade 2 wins on the turf in Chile. So I am not too creative in this race, although I am going to go too deep in the pick 5. The horse I'm going to put on top is Forbidden Kingdom. He's fast. He's only lost dirt sprinting when he stumbled out of the gate, and that was to Messier, who was kind of a big deal, I think, favored in the Santa Anita Derby. Forbidden Kingdom ran a 46 flat 4 furlong workout coming into this race. He seems to be working out well. DRF workout report has him doing a blowout under a big hold coming into this race. And I just think if he's developed at all since the spring, he should be able to boss these. Now, the other horse that I would use is Toto Fino, and it's a little concerning that Berrios gets off of him. I don't know enough about the rider to know whether he has good judgment that way or not, but I really like that last race. He ran a bang-up race in his North American debut. He prompted a hot pace, stayed in control the entire race. He galloped out best. He's 10 for 15 lifetime and 4 for 4 at the distance, and he could be any kind. So at a 4-to-1 morning line, I wouldn't be surprised for him if he did well. And I'm a little concerned that I don't have a closer anywhere in the mix, but I don't know. I'm just going with the two horses that impressed me the most.
Yeah, there's not a lot of closers in the race. I just think Toto Fino, the time to have him was last time, where he was in a softer field and he could kind of control the race up front. You're right though. You don't know what his upside is, but to me, you know, Super Ocho has more upside. He's a 4-year-old versus the 5-year-old Toto Fino. Those are the two I was looking at. And, you know, a 4-year-old bred in South America is a really young 4-year-old. So he's got quite a bit of upside. And like I said, he had a major excuse for that last race. And he was really impressive in his debut. I mean, it was at Mountaineer. He didn't beat anything, but he looked pretty good. But I agree with you, Forbidden Kingdom. You know, this is probably a bit of a prep. I would think that their target would probably be the BC Mile. That's what they did with Omaha Beach. But if he's ready, he should be, you know, the speed of the speed. Although, like I said, he's not going to get any break early. There's plenty of other speed to go with him. So it'll be interesting to see how he runs.
Yeah, it's a tough race. And you know, looking at Super Ocho right now, I'm eyeballing him. He did wire in that dirt race at Mountaineer. So maybe I will try to find a closer. I'm looking desperately to find a closer. None Above the Law is a closer, and maybe, you know, maybe he's one of the horses he's a horse you have to use.
Yeah, it falls apart.
And, you know, I mean, CZ Rocket has back class. He's always a possibility too. I reserve the right to add a closer to my pick five between now and tomorrow.
Okay. We'll let you make that reservation.
Yeah, sometimes I tweet out, I will add a horse to the pick five and I'll tweet it. But so far, since I've been doing that, I have none of those horses have won. So probably don't worry about my tweet.
There's always a first time, though.
Okay, the seventh race is the Eddie D Stakes, grade 2, 6.5 furlongs on the downhill turf. Purse of $200,000 for 3-year-olds and up. I will get it started, even though I don't have a strong opinion in this race. I'm going pretty deep. The horse I decided that I was going to go with, I had like 6 horses that were my top picks, and I decided to go with the longest odds, and that is What Makes Sammy Run. He had some trouble in his last. He still earned his best sheet figure. He's 2 for 2 at Santa Anita, although not on the hill. At 8-to-1, he is the top pick where I am going deep, and I'll mention the other horses after you give us your rundown.
Yeah, in this race, one of the angles I like to play at Santa Anita after Del Mar is look for horses that like to go farther than 5 furlongs that have been kind of, they're turf sprinters that like to go down the hill or you know, at least 6 furlongs. And then they've been running to Del Mar where there's only 5 furlong races. And when they get back to Santa Anita and they stretch out, sometimes you can get a little extra value. And for me, that horse is the 5 Coulthard, I think is how you say that. And you know, he, I think, definitely is one who you was, you know, kind of ran a couple times at Del Mar, didn't run poorly, but that was, you know, less than ideal circumstances, actually won one of those races. And now he goes back, you know, down the hill where I think he's going to be better. And, you know, he's going to be closing, so you need a little bit of racing luck. But, yeah, he's proven down the hill. And I think he's sitting on a pretty good race after a couple of shorter races at Del Mar. And he's a decent price at 6-1, although there's a lot of horses at 6-1 on this morning line, 6-4, 5-6-1. So it's a little, we'll see what the actual off time price is. Could be different.
Well, I hate to be a negative Nelly, but he is actually 0-4 down the hill. So he's not proven down the hill. But
I'm going off the figures he runs, not the result of the race. So. He's run very good races down the hill if you just look at the numbers he runs.
Okay. That's an angle. And actually, I am using Coulthard. I think he's in fine fettle right now. I'm assuming that I hadn't looked at his exact record. I was looking at the same figures as you were, and they look good at 6.5 furlongs. And it looks like he just broke through in his last couple of races. He broke through as a 4-year-old. He earned his top buyers, including in his last race, a 95, which is 6 points faster than his previous best. So I definitely like him, but I had a hard time not using all of the horses in this race. So I'm also using Laneway, Air Force Red, who's cutting back. Goliad, who could potentially wire them because he's just such a speed freak. Gregorian Chant, who's working out like a mad dog, better than he's worked out in a long time. And then my long shot special, who I almost put on top and I just couldn't do it because it looks like he's never done it without Lasix. And that is Barristan the Bold. But I'm gonna use him just because I like the numbers that he's been running. And I guess Chris probably doesn't realize he's on mute, actually. So I should say something.
Yeah. Okay. Of the horses you mentioned, the one I like is Air Force Red. I thought his last race was really good. He kind of got into a duel with Goliad. And then the rider kind of backed off. And then I thought he was done. And he came back and opened up in the lane, but then got run down, not surprisingly, by some pretty good horses. But I thought the effort was really good. I wish he were in the mile race rather than this one. But to me, he's you know, cutting back to down the hill is usually not a bad thing. So those are two I probably like in here: Coulthard and Air Force Red. I mean, you mentioned quite a few others. I think you kind of make a case for them. But other than Gregorian Chant, I think. They all are going to need to improve to win in here.
Yeah, we'll you know, we'll see if it was a wise decision for me to go deep in this race after the race is over, because it could end up being the 5-2 or 2-1 Gregorian Chant.
Well, hopefully you can find some value and go skinny here in one of these ladder legs, and so you can spread out there.
Yeah, I'm relatively skinny. Let's go to the 8th race. It's the Awesome Again, Grade 1, mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of 300,000 for 3-year-olds and up. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking everybody's happy Flight Line's not in this race. So and they're all coming back. Express Train, Royal Ship, Country Grammar, all coming back after that drubbing by the you know, the freak. I'm going to try to beat all three of them with a five horse Triple E. I've been wanting to play that horse this year. He got really good when they moved him to the dirt last year. He needs at least a mile and an eighth to run his best, I think. He's had a couple starts this year. This is third off the layoff. He's got some good workouts. You know, he likes Santa Anita. He's back on dirt at the distance that I think this is the sweet spot for him, mile and eighth, mile and a quarter on the dirt. So he even has a possibility that he could improve, and he's already fast enough to compete with the favorites. So for me, Triple E's definitely the value, and he's not coming off that really tough effort. You know, he's kind of coming off. To me, he's ready to peak where the others might have, you know, been targeting the Pacific Classic, and now, you know, they might be on the other side of the peak. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
I see it with Triple E, and I'm going to use him, and I would also use Country Grammar just on number power. But of course, I would use him only with non-favorites, so I would not have Forbidden Kingdom and Country Grammar on the same ticket. But the horse I'm going to choose on top, just because I think Triple E might still need one more race before he gets into his best form, and that is Express Train. He ran his best race in the 9 furlong Californian earlier this year at Santa Anita. He needed his last after a layoff. He's working well for this, and I think you might get a little bit more than the 7-2 morning line since he finished fourth to Flightline 20-something lengths back.
Yeah, at this distance, I think Country Grammar's not at his best in Express Train. You know, that's why I was trying to get myself to like Express Train last time he ran, at least to run second behind Flightline, but I couldn't do it at a mile and a quarter. But at a mile and an eighth, I think he definitely could beat Country Grammar. Royal Ship's just kind of hard. He runs big races and bad races. I don't know what to do with him. I don't think he'll get a great price on any of those three, but probably of the three, the best price will be Express Train. So if you're going to go that direction, that's probably the way to do it.
We'll move to the ninth race, the Unzip Me Stakes, another 6.5 furlongs down the hill, purse of 85,000 for three-year-old fillies. I feel bad starting this one again, but I'm going with Connie Swingle. She's the fastest. She has two wins on the hill. It's an easy no-value pick. I do like one other horse, and I'll let you have a chance to try to pick that horse. I'll give you a chance in case you do have that horse as your top pick. But for me, it's Connie Swingle, who I think will probably be much lower than the 3-1 morning line.
Yeah, that horse likes to win races. It sounded like this could be a really chalky pick five. I could chalk out if. But Connie Swingle is the one to beat. I did have a horse I like in here that I think could maybe upset her. That's the 4 Countess Rosina. She actually ran second to Connie Swingle down the hill earlier this year, and that was a race that really had no pace at all. And now she's going to try her again. She's cutting back in distance. There seems to be some decent pace in this race, so I don't think it's going to be a slow pace like the last time the two faced each other. And so maybe this time Countess Rosina can get a little bit better setup and just maybe pull the upset. If nothing else, you can run second again behind Connie Swingle. And, you know, she's one of the longest shots on the board if you go by the morning line. In fact, she's as long as any horse in the race on the morning line. So Countess Rosina, the 4. She may end up just running second to Connie Swingle again, but who knows? She's lightly raced. These are 3-year-olds, and maybe she can improve, or Connie Swingle, you know, runs a clunker or gets into some trouble or something.
Okay, interesting pick, and I'm going to have to eyeball that one. My other horse is a 12-1 as well, and that is Tezzeray, the 8. I just like the feel of the line of the horse. And she is dropping in class and distance. So, you know, that's an angle we like going down the hill. I think she might surprise a 12-1. And, you know, Connie Swingle's on figures is just so much faster. But she is coming off the top, and I can see Tesserae improving. So so I'd probably go with just those two in this leg.
Yeah, and Tesserae was sprinting in Europe, her first two starts. So you know, maybe she'll like going down the hill.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other price horses you could, you know, if Connie Swingle doesn't win, a lot of ways you could go. You know, probably the one that just a couple notes. One, Grace Adler's going first time turf for Baffert. That's usually when he puts them on the turf, that's not a good sign, especially for a horse that's done pretty well on the dirt. So I don't like that horse. I'm not that it's a favorite, but it is one of the lower prices on the morning line. But probably of the other horses out there, one I'm kind of interested in is Island of Love. They take the blinkers off and cut back in distance here. And you know, she is another one who started her career sprinting in Europe and won both those starts. They've been running her long here, and she's hitting the board in all her starts but her last one. But that was a grade one, going a mile and an eighth. So, you know, I think the cut back in distance, the drop in class, she could be a handful. Not a great price at 5-1. I wouldn't play it to win, but that's another contender in here. For me, definitely from a value standpoint, the four, if you get those double digit odds, is the way to go.
This is definitely a good race, assuming that Connie Swingle doesn't run away with it. If she does as a favorite, that would be disappointing. And it wouldn't be disappointing for me since I picked her on the pod, but I do see the potential for a nice price in this race outside of Connie Swingle.
Yeah, you got to hope you can get a price somewhere, because if Forbidden Kingdom wins and, you know, one of the three coming out of the Pacific Classic wins and Connie Swingle wins, we're not going to get much of a – and who was the other one? I guess – the one race that doesn't have a – well, even Gregorian Chant might end up getting bet down below that morning line. So, yeah, got to hope it doesn't shock out for sure.
I think, you know, our odds are pretty good in general that it won't shock out. It might not be like an astronomical payout, but I think, you know, we at most there'll be two favorites in the sequence.
Yeah, and if you bet it, that's probably what you should do, is not put more than two of those on your ticket. You got to beat it. You're going to have to beat a couple of them probably to make it worthwhile.
Right, like Country Grammar, I probably shouldn't have a ticket even with that horse on it.
Yeah, I think he's the one you want to beat going cutting back in distance after a race that they had targeted all summer. To me, he seems vulnerable. For sure. And Forbidden Kingdom, you know, he's coming off a layoff. This could be more of a prep. He's a good horse, but there's a lot of others feeding that race too. So, you know, maybe try to beat one of those two for sure. And then you, at least one of those two beat. I wouldn't put both of those on the same ticket.
Okay, well, we may get some value here in the 10th race. It's a maiden special weight, 6 furlongs on the turf, purse of 61,000 for 2-year-old fillies. I know you aren't fond of these maidens, but what do you like?
Well, I tried to find one first-time starter and one horse that has run. And so I'll give the first time starter first, and then I'm interested to see what the how it scores on the ratings. But I thought the 5 Mystify Doll trained by Mandela, has really good workouts, has been working with some, like a Candrell, who's in a stakes race earlier in the card, been holding her own against that. So for 2-year-old filly, that's pretty good, I thought. Mandela's pretty good with you know, young horses, and he can win first asking. So you know, 6-1 you probably won't get if the horse is live. It'll probably get bet down, but you won't know that in the pick five. So if you're playing the pick five, you know, maybe that horse really is 6-1 or higher in the pick five pool. So the firsters, I like the five.
And Mystify Doll gets a Horse Racing Nation first time starter rating of 5. The only horse in this race to get 5. So I would suspect that the horse is going to get played. And originally it was my pick, and then but there were just too many things aligning to it. So I said that I should go with a bigger price. So the bigger price that I am going to go with is Poetica. She shows a 47.3 gatework, gets a B-plus workout report from DRF, where she's been working with the older Sharapova, who I'm not sure if she's a stakes horse or not, but it's a horse that I've heard, you know, that I've seen certainly run. The trainer is only 1-23, first time starters turf sprinting, but he has a win at 15-1 and he has a second in May at 17-1. Now the Horse Racing Nation first time starter rating is only 3, but at 20-1, I like those odds. So Poetica is my top pick, but I will be going deep in this race.
Yeah, the barn has another one. The 11 horse in two. So I couldn't really separate those two. Of the ones that have run, the horse I was leaning towards was the 4-horse Broadway Girls, who ran pretty well on the dirt. Now goes second time starter, switches to the turf. O'Neill usually does better with second time starters, and they, you know, he switches back and forth from dirt to turf a lot, and the pedigree doesn't scream turf, but it is just a sprint and it's 2-year-olds. So for me, that one is the kind that might you know, really improve. It does have a good workout since its last race. It had a fast gate work before its debut, so I think it's got some speed, and you know, it just didn't get off to a good start last time. So I'm hoping this time around, they have given it a couple gate works since that first race. So hopefully they'll have figured it out and the horse will break alertly. If it does, I think it could be dangerous.
Okay. Well, one of my angles when it comes to these maiden races in pick five sequences is to always use any maiden that has run a workout from the gate in 49 or less at 4 furlongs and 101 or less in at 5 furlongs. Unfortunately, almost every horse has done that.
Well, at Santa Anita, sorry. Yeah, and in a maiden race, you kind of expect that, right?
Yeah, you may not expect it like with turf horses, but these are turf sprinters. At least tomorrow they are, and so I'll mention some of the other horses. I was going to mention them in order because I just typed them in this order. So the first horse I'm going to mention is, besides Mystified Doll, which I'm definitely going to use, the next horse I'm going to use is The Dance Between, who is second out and had some trouble in debut and has turf breeding. Another horse that I'm going to use is Pleasant Wave, who does not get a workout report from DRF. I'm not sure where she's working, but she does show a 48.4 and a 1:02 gate work. And she gets the first time starter rating from Horse Racing Nation of 4. And because I don't want to, you know, monopolize the conversation, I'll stop for now. and see if you have anything to add on the horses I just gave you.
To me, this is just kind of a race where, yeah, you can, you don't know what all these horses could win it, but everyone's going to be spreading. So if I were to play this, I wouldn't spread. I would just go with Mystify Doll as maybe just the steam horse. You don't know that, but given that 5-star rating and that I came up with that horse without spending a lot of time looking at this, but I did watch a couple of its workouts. You know, I would use that one, and then I would use the other horse I mentioned, Broadway Girls, as the one that could improve second start. And that's all I would use. I wouldn't bet a lot in this pick five. And I would, you know, stay skinny in every leg. I would probably include the favorites, but I would be beating two or three favorites. I'd probably play multiple tickets, and each ticket's beating two or three of the favorites with some of my prize horses. So if I hit it, I know I'll get rewarded. If all the favorites win, I won't cash, but it's not going to pay anything anyway.
Okay, well, a couple of other horses that I would use. Ragtime Rose, who shows a 48-3 gate work. The dam side has turf breeding. It is by Union Rags, so, you know, that's sort of a pox, but it is a sprint. So, and she does get a DRF B-plus workout report. She, according to them, she's been toying with her workout report or her workout partners. She gets an HRN, or Horse Racing Nation, first-time starter rating of 3. And then the last horse that I'm interested in is Canthara, who's on the AE list. I don't know if she'll get in, but if she does, I'm definitely using her. She was green in her debut on dirt, but does have turf breeding. And the trainer is 2-for-7, second time out, dirt to turf, with a 254 ROI. And both those winners were with this jock, Victor Espinoza.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the jock, but that if that horse did draw in, that would be the other one I would use, the Canthara. I would never play a Union Rags first-time starter on the turf with anybody's money. So you can include that one, but not on my nickel. How low do the ratings go? Do they go lower than 3, or are they all 3, 4, or 5?
No, they go down to 2 and 1. But if they do give a rating of 2 and 1, that's not a good sign.
I was gonna say, are any of these rated that low? They're probably all at least a 3, right?
They're all at least a 3.
Yeah, I'm guessing at Santa Anita they're all gonna be a 3. So 3 is not a good rating. It just means they're not bad.
Right. Yeah. Their ROI. The horses that rate 3 stars. Do not do demonstrably better than their odds would indicate. It's the 4 and 5 star ratings that are the more important to their report.
And it's only the first time starters that they rate?
Yeah.
So do they show you for like a horse, the second time starter, what its rating was when it made its first start?
They do not.
Broadway Girls, what did they rate that one? Do you know what they rated that one in its debut?
I do not know. That's okay. Not in the report. And I just started looking at the report. So I don't have that info. But, you know, also keep in mind that she started on the dirt and maybe turf meant.
Yeah. Right. I'm hoping that a horse does take to the new surface for sure.
Now, just for listeners' purposes, if you want to keep track of these ratings, there are two horses that we haven't mentioned that also get 4 ratings of 4 from the HRN workout power rating report, and that's Dash Away, who gets 4 stars, and Cheekiest, who gets 4 stars. They are horses that I'm not particularly interested in. And I'll just mention, you know, the reason I don't like Cheekiest, at least, is that the workout report from Daily Racing Form was pretty negative on her. And Dash Away, I don't remember why I wasn't interested in the horse, but it must not have had a fast workout report. It must not have had a fast gait work.
Yeah, and drawing.
Oh, and it's also Yeah, it's on the rail.
And that way they run those races, they start in this new chute they put in there, and there's a gap, and they got to cross the dirt. A lot of things for, you know, the rail's probably not a good post ever, but certainly not for a first-time starter. Unless the horse can just pop the gate, then it might not matter.
Right. It does have a good gate work of 1 minute and 3/5. So, you know, you could use the horse. It's just a question of, you know, Peter Miller also, he's only 3 for 41 first time starters turf sprinting with an 0.66 ROI. So, you know, I don't have a problem not using that horse.
Yeah. Like I said, if I play this pick five, which I probably won't, I would go real skinny in here, because even the price horses are, people are going to be spreading. Almost everyone will spread in here. So, you know, even if you land a long shot, if the other favorites come in the other legs, it's probably not going to pay much. So you got to beat. So if you are going to spread in here, I think you got to go pretty skinny in the other legs, and you've got to beat at least, probably at least two favorites. So let's rank the favorites. Forbidden Kingdom, Gregorian Chant, Country Grammar, and Connie Swingle. How would you rate those from the hardest to beat to the most likely to be upset?
I think the hardest to beat will probably be Forbidden Kingdom. But, you know, he's the most likely of those favorites, I believe. And I think the most likely to get beat is probably Country Grammar.
Yeah, I would say I'm not too far. I would say Connie Swingle is the most likely winner of that bunch. She just wins and wins and wins, and she's in good form. And there's nothing new. The reason Forbidden Kingdom, he is going off the layoff. He did draw the inside, and there's a lot of speed in the race. And, you know, this could be a prep. So to me, there are some questions about him. Whereas like Connie Swingle, there's really no question. She's the best horse. The only way she loses is if she just runs a clunker, which she never does. So I would probably put her above Forbidden Kingdom. But I agree with you, Country Grammar. At this distance, you know, I think he's very vulnerable. Or not very vulnerable, but the most vulnerable of those four. And Gregorian Chant, you know, the thing is, I think of all those four, he'll be the highest price. So beating him won't be worth as much as the others, I don't think. But, you know, he certainly doesn't lay over that field by any stretch.
Yeah, he doesn't lay over, but it's really interesting that his workouts are just out of this world. you know, better than he's run in years. I mean, he ran a 4 furlong and a 5 furlong that were both his fastest workouts at the distance in like 2 years.
Well, he might be ready, but even if he fires his best race, it's really not significantly better than several others in the race. I mean, even if he does run. And, you know, as a 6-year-old, he's probably not going to all of a sudden run the best race of his life. You know, that would be a surprise. So, you know, he's a 6-year-old. There's really no upside there. He's not exactly in great form in terms of his races. You know, maybe his workouts are pretty good. But for me, he's probably the least likely to win. But he's also probably going to be the highest price of the four. So we'll see.
Yeah. You know, just peeking at the DRF workout report, I do notice that Goliad gets a B+. And it says the big guy was under a monster hold in a flashy half mile. So.
Well, he likes to fly. He'll be flying early and maybe 6.5. He doesn't have to go, you know, 2 turns. He might not stop. Right. So he's definitely dangerous.
At 8-1, you know, he's definitely a horse to consider. Go ahead.
I was going to say he and Air Force Red both you know, cutting back after the pace they set last time. You know, Goliad kind of kicked away in mid-race. I think it was more of a tactical decision by the rider on Air Force Red. But Air Force Red then, you know, went right past him and opened up in the stretch. So I don't know, you know, which, but both of them, I think, could be dangerous going down the hill.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that Goliad ran that race. It wasn't that great of a race in his last one. Off of Lasix, and he's off again. So, you know, I can't tell. I can't but really.
That his last race was good, though. I mean, much better than the result. In fact, if you look at his Timeform US rating, he earned the best Timeform US number he's ever earned when you adjust for pace. So, you know, he ran a good race. He just ran an impossible race. You can't go that fast that early going that far and hold off good horses like Hong Kong Harry. You know, just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets that was his best race. So
and that, take a look at Air Force Red. To me, it was amazing that he was dueling early for half a mile. Then you thought he was done. And then he came back on. He opened up and it looked like he might win it for a little bit. But then, you know, he got swallowed up late. But that was a monster effort by Air Force Red, you know, too. So both of them ran really well. And the cutback in distance makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, they both cut back. They're both in the same race. It would have been better if one of them didn't. There's just one of the two in.
Yeah, but they could both go off decent prices. They're 5-1 and 8-1. So,
but I mean, they might end up hooking up early again is what I meant. Although I'm thinking that Air Force Red may try to sit off. But Goliad just has the one way of going pretty much. So there's some other speed too. So we'll just see. But, you know, those horses are interesting. They certainly could beat the favorite.
That's going to be a fun card to watch. And I'm just looking at the I'm looking at the times. The first race is at 6:00 Eastern time. And I know that I'm attending a dinner party, and I hope it starts later than that. I hope it starts at like 7:30 or so.
Well, you just got to get one of the betting apps on your iPhone and just be kind of like underneath the table watching the race.
Well, it's already been established that Saturdays I am paying attention to my phone. But this is a kind of an important dinner party. So we'll see. Hopefully I can work in the ninth and the 10th race somehow publicly. I'm not sure how it's going to pan out, but hopefully I'll be alive. If I'm alive going into those two races, I'm going to find a way to see them and maybe display them to the entire dinner party. It's not a big dinner party. It's only four people.
Cheer us on. There, get the group karma going. Yeah, maybe you'll get to see at least the first few races. You get to watch Super Ocho pull the upset over Forbidden Kingdom.
Well, you know, if I am watching this race with other people who are newbies, it'll be fun to root for Connie Swingle just because of that name.
Yeah, Connie Swingle. She's a nice horse. Be the kind you'd like to own for sure.
So do you have any, I don't expect you to have any other plays because you just realized that you had to handicap Santa Anita recently, but do you have any other plays on the card?
Not really. No, there's really nothing that jumped out at me. I, like you said, I really haven't looked at it that close. So most of the early races are kind of small fields, so there's probably not much in those anyway.
I also did not look at those races, as I was, as usual on Friday, very busy just trying to get through the pick five sequence. So we'll have to leave it at that. And I think that will wrap up the pod for today.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. The other race you might, just for watching, is Life is Good, runs at Belmont. It looks like he'll win easily, but he's always fun to watch. So as a fan, that'll be a good race. Certainly not a good one to bet.
But interesting. If he completely romps, that does set up a potential interesting race between he and Flightline in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, you got to wonder. This might be the one horse that could push Flightline. He can't just sit, he'll go to the lead. You know that he's going to go fast. Flightline's fast. Just maybe it could open the door for somebody to beat those two. So you got to hope that Life is Good does go to the Classic, because it makes it a lot more interesting race from how challenging it will be to Flightline. I mean, without Life is Good, Flightline is everybody's 1-9 pick. Life is Good in there. Now you've got a horse that might be a worthy rival, and certainly a pace factor that just makes it a lot more interesting race. I'm not saying Life is Good is as good a horse as Flightline, and I think certainly at a mile and a quarter, Flightline seems much better. But Life is Good is a good horse, and he's very quick, and it's the kind of horse that puts pressure on everybody else in the race right from the start. So
it could really spice up the Classic. I mean, if those two run, I mean, it's almost be too good to be true to have those two horses in the same race, because Life is Good is running pretty huge figures as well.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse. So let's hope they do. One thing bad about racing in the modern era, the good horses just don't face each other very often. So you would hope that at least in the Classic, they'll give it a shot with Life is Good, assuming that he runs well here and comes out of the race okay. Let's just hope that that's what happens, because that's what makes racing, seeing the best horses go head to head is, from an entertainment standpoint, is the best part of horse racing for sure.
All right. Before we wrap it up, I do want to wish you good luck in the Hawthorne contest tomorrow. Take it down for Sport of Kings.
All right.
Sport of Kings Karma.
There we go.
May the karma be with you.
Exactly.
Okay. That will conclude show number 192 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck at Santa Anita and wherever else you play. Please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.